Britain convicts the soda bottle bombers. New X-ray technology could let you resume carrying full bottles of shampoo. And an industry group studies the aerospace brain drain. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, August 9th, 2009. The three terrorists who created an instant market for 3-ounce shampoo bottles have been found guilty of plotting to destroy airliners using explosives smuggled in plastic soda bottles. Investigators said the three planned to mix hydrogen peroxide bombs in airplane lavatories and use them to kill as many as 2,000 airline passengers simultaneously. British police said Abdullah Ahmed Ali, Asad Sarwar, and Tanvir Hussein, all now in their late 20s, were within days of pulling off the attack. Britain's Home Secretary Alan Johnson said the plot would have brought, quote, murder and mayhem on an unimaginable scale, unquote. British and U.S. security officials say the plot was guided by senior Pakistani Islamic militants and directly tied to Al-Qaeda. Some scientists said the odds of successfully assembling bombs were remote, but the shampoo ban plays on. Britain's Sky News reports that the liquids ban brought on by the bombing threat could end if new screening technology proves successful. Machines being tested at Newcastle Airport read the barcode on a bottle of liquid, then use X-ray beams to test the spectral signature of the bottle's contents for a match. Several airlines say they're eager to see relaxed rules on carry-on liquids when appropriate. A Piper PA-32 with five people on board hit a communications tower guy wire in what authorities describe as heavy fog and crashed into a park. There were no survivors. The victims were identified as Dr. Stephen Lester, three members of his family, and a family friend, Dr. Kenneth Vitetto. They were reportedly en route to Dallas Love Field, planning to attend the Oklahoma BYU football game on Saturday. FAA records indicate the plane was registered to Dr. Lester. Witnesses have told media outlets they heard a sound like a loud pop and saw the aircraft tumbling through the air before it hit the ground and caught fire. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol speculates that heavy fog and almost zero visibility were factors. The American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics has released a report noting the issues posed by an aging aerospace workforce and sets out strategies to retain current aerospace professionals and build the aerospace workforce of the future. AIAA President Dave Thompson calls the report a must-read. Quote, "The report identifies key areas where action must be taken and offers effective and practical solutions that can be implemented across all strata of the community to ensure that aerospace remains a strong, vibrant sector of the world economy," unquote. Among the problems addressed are the effect of the educational and social environment on the workforce, changes needed to improve retention, and the rising average age of aerospace workers. The report concludes that solutions are the responsibilities of all members of the aerospace community, from corporate HR and senior management to individual engineers and scientists. You can download the report from a link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated September 8th, at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, industry and lawmakers react to the WTO's verdict on Airbus subsidies. Brazil buys the Rafale fighter from France. And Cessna Citation Sovereigns will be used for airway inspections in China. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 9th. I'm Paul Platt. Speaking on behalf of the Aerospace Industries Association, President Marion Blakey has applauded last week's ruling by the World Trade Organization that the European government's launch aid to Airbus is not consistent with its rules. Reuters reported that some U.S. lawmakers have already been briefed on the WTO's preliminary finding, which stopped short of saying all government loans to Airbus were violations. The U.S. was fighting, among other things, the issuance of loans which were later not required to be paid back. The full official WTO finding is expected in a few months. Blakey called the preliminary ruling, quote, an important step toward achieving a level and fair playing field that will allow the U.S. aerospace industry to flourish in the international marketplace, unquote. You just knew this had to be next. U.S. Congressman Norman Dix, a Democrat from Washington State, is seizing on the preliminary WTO ruling as grounds for barring partners Northrop Grumman and Airbus from competing with his beloved Boeing for a contract to build the next U.S. Air Force tanker. Quote, the U.S. government cannot reward illegal market actions that have harmed U.S. manufacturers and stolen U.S. aerospace jobs, unquote. Northrop responds to the Politico that the WTO issue is irrelevant and that the better plane should win. Quote, those who try to inject the WTO issue into the tanker competition are doing our warfighters a disservice, unquote. Brazil and France announced on Monday that the two companies will extend their military relationship with Brazil's purchase of 36 Dassault Rafale fighter jets and the technology to build more on its own. The deal marks the first purchase of the fighter by a foreign government. The announcement was made jointly by visiting French President Nicolas Sarkozy and Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva on the occasion of Brazil's Independence Day. The $4 to $6 billion deal is intended to supply Brazil with modern fighter aircraft for the next 30 years. The government says the Rafale was chosen over the F/A-18 Hornet and the Saab Gripen NG, in part because full technology sharing was more important in the decision than the cost. In return, France has agreed to buy 10 KC-390 military transport aircraft being built by the Brazilian Air Force and Embraer. Cessna announced on Tuesday it has received an order for three Citation Sovereigns from the China Flight Inspection Center of the Civil Aviation Administration of China. Cessna Sales and Marketing Senior VP Roger White commented, quote, the Citation Sovereign was chosen for its reliability, its wide operating envelope with a maximum true airspeed of Mach 0.8, and its low-speed handling characteristics, which are important for flight inspection missions. The CFIC used their Citations as flight inspection aircraft for the airways calibration of all the airports in the People's Republic of China, including Hong Kong and Macau, and airports up to 15,000 feet in elevation. The Sovereign will join the Citation XLS and XLS Plus as the only business jets in their class certified to operate from airports at altitudes as high as 15,000 feet, unquote. The three planes are scheduled for delivery in late 2010, when they'll undergo modifications to support the airways inspection mission. Cessna says there are currently more than 20 Citations operating in China. Still ahead, JFK International gets $7 million to improve taxiways. The Royal Australian Air Force gets its first UAVs. And hockey teams scramble to plan around a new trade war. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, August 9th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA has awarded a grant of almost $7 million for improvements to several taxiways at JFK International Airport. Senator Charles Schumer sounds as if he has high expectations for the repaving job. Quote, these taxiway improvements will increase safety and obliterate many of the frustrating delays that we have all experienced at New York City's largest airport, unquote. Schumer added in his written statement that flight delays in the New York City area last year cost an estimated $4.9 billion in lost productivity, canceled vacations, increased fuel costs, and other economic impacts. The Australian Air Force is flying its first unmanned aircraft. Senator John Faulkner, the nation's Minister for Defense, says the service has acquired Heron unmanned aerial vehicles in collaboration with Canadian forces. Quote, this high-resolution intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance capability will enhance the capability of Australian forces in Afghanistan, unquote. The Heron has an endurance of more than 24 hours, a maximum speed of more than 100 knots, and flies at altitudes of up to 30,000 feet. The Heron is produced by Israel Aerospace Industries with Australian partners. U.S. Air Force officials last week reactivated the 69th Bomb Squadron at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota. The 4th Operational B-52H Stratofortress Squadron joins the 23rd Bomb Squadron at that facility. The new squadron was established to provide each B-52 wing with two active-duty combat-coded squadrons, providing bench depth to rotate the squadrons across the mission sets as recommended in the Defense Science Board report. Major General Floyd Carpenter, the 8th Air Force commander, took note of the history. Quote, "In World War II, the 69th Bomb Squadron deployed A-26 and B-26 bombers to Australia and the South Pacific. And during the Vietnam War, the 69th Bomb Squadron deployed B-52 aircraft to Guam and Thailand. Now, more than 65 years after its initial activation, the 69th Bomb Squadron returns to provide deterrence forces and help balance the demands of both the nuclear and conventional missions of the B-52 fleet," unquote. And finally today, despite all the talk about open skies, there are two countries still bickering and threatening each other over allowing foreign carriers to compete. And believe it or not, those two countries are the U.S. and Canada. The Edmonton Oilers hockey team, like many, uses chartered flights on its road trips. But last month, the U.S. announced it was ending an 8-year exemption that allowed sports teams and celebrities in chartered Canadian jets to make multiple stops in the U.S. before returning home. Now, the CanWest News Service reports Canada is about to retaliate. The Oilers are scheduled to play October 12th in Nashville, Tennessee, and are scrambling to make alternative plans. Touring musicians are also caught in the bind, and the loss of revenue for Air Canada, which has booked charters for NHL teams, is especially unwelcomed as it teeters near bankruptcy. So what is it about hockey anyway? Even the aviation regulators are fighting. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Brian Neville, Acting National Outreach Manager for the FAA Safety Team. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.